Okay. Well, one of the areas where the idea of euthanasia or medically assisted suicide is being seriously considered at the moment is the Isle of Man, from where we can now speak to Quintin Gill, who's an independent member of the Isle of Man's lower house of parliament, the House of Keys. Good morning.
Good morning.
What's brought this about then? Why is there suddenly such public debate on the island about whether or not euthanasia should be legalised?
Well, it's not a sudden development, but in this instance, a colleague of mine in the House of Keys moved a private member's bill, and that was then referred to a select committee to consider the issues and to report back, and that's the stage that we're at the moment.
You're chairing the select committee that looks into this. Was there something that triggered this or not?
Well, there was a case which attracted quite a lot of publicity and sympathy of a gentleman who is a constituent of mine and my colleague who moved the private member's bill. He had terminal cancer and subsequently sadly died, but his request was for somebody to at least explore the issues with a view that his suffering and his circumstances could actually lead to a review of legislation.
What sense do you get of public feeling on this, on the island?
Well, we had a programme undertaken by Border Television, which is the regional company that covers the Isle of Man. They did a poll, and the findings on that were overwhelmingly in favour of consideration of legislation, but with the very strong caveat that the legislation has to be regulated so that it's very, very clearly as stringent as possible and is only for people who are resident on the Isle of Man.
How would you be able to police that then? Because I can see a situation where people might be thinking, right, well, we'll go to the Isle of Man and do it there in the way that some people have gone to Switzerland, for example.
I think that's probably unlikely. I think my own experience would be that if you were tragically advised that you had an incurable condition, the last thing you would probably want to do, or probably most people in Stoke-on-Trent, I would hazard, is to say, right, well, I'm going to move to the Isle of Man, where I've got no connection and no knowledge of the place. But certainly, for those exceptional cases where people would have that in mind, the regulations would have to be couched in such a way that it would be very clearly for people who have a long-term commitment here. And we could prove that in many ways, registration with doctor's surgeries or registration for tax purposes. The onus will be on the person to prove that they have a long-term commitment to the Isle of Man. So I'm confident that there is a mechanism to guard against that abuse.
How would this work then? Because the legislative process on the Isle of Man is different to that in the rest of the UK. So would it have any influence, or could the British government have any influence on whichever decision you take on this?
Well, the legislative process is the same as Westminster, but we are a legislature body in our own right. We are a parliament, so we make our own laws, and the UK have a relationship, as with other crown dependencies, where they're responsible for what's termed good government, and effectively that means that to ensure that there's not rioting on the streets or civil disorder. We don't anticipate that, although the UK government might have a contrary view about voluntary euthanasia to perhaps the Isle of Man Parliament, if indeed that's how this progresses, that they would extend that to opposition to blocking any legislation that we feel is fit for our domestic purpose.
If it were to progress in that direction and voluntary euthanasia were to be legalised on the Isle of Man, how quickly could the process take place? How long does it take for you to come up with an idea for a law and the stage you're at to then actually make it law?
There isn't a timescale that's set down. I mean, we can, and we have, on exceptional occasions, suspended standing orders of our Parliament and put through an act in one day. We can do all the readings in one day. We can put it to the Legislative Council, our other side of the House, and get that accepted. Now, we wouldn't do that in a matter of this sensitivity and importance. In fact, we do the opposite. We would take a longer rather than shorter time to explore the issues, pardon me, as fully as we could. And that's what we're in the middle of now. So I don't think I can give you a timescale to answer to that, but we're talking long months and years, not a short time.
And one other point, you mentioned the safeguards a moment ago. What kind of safeguards are you looking at to bring in before you even consider whether or not you want to make this law?
The underpinning principle of this is that it's about choice. that this legislation would allow people a choice if their circumstances are such, but that choice would have to be explored and tested very fully by medical people, by a psychiatrist, by a counsellor perhaps. The family would probably have a role in that decision-making process as well. And the clear ethos would be that if people wanted to opt out at any juncture, then that would be taken as given. So it's very clearly the safeguards would be as firm as possible to ensure that the person is being given a free choice, that choice is honoured, but there's no coercion or influence adversely being brought to bear.
Okay, Quentin Gill from the Isle of Man, thanks very much indeed for joining us on the programme this morning. Quentin from the Isle of Man's House of Keys on how they're looking at the situation now.